And good evening. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. Ha, ha, ha. This is not the night I usually do Radiance by Design, but I'm doing it tonight because this is Veronica Entwistle, and I am the host of Paradigm Shifters, but we moved Paradigm Shifters. We shifted our paradigm to Thursday at 7 o'clock so that we could have Dwal Cool on the air. So I decided you better call in tonight, and we're going to talk about projections, how to recognize our projections. We've been talking about this for a couple of weeks, but if you're anything like me, it's a bigger process than a week or two or three. And I'd also like to talk with you about anything else in terms of how you're creating yourself or recreating yourself and consciously radiating into the world. As I was talking to, well, many people about manifestations, we've talked about The Secret and The Belief and those different wonderful movies, groundbreaking movies. And one of the problems with the manifestation stuff that's out there that's made it hard for some of us to meet the goals of being able to manifest like mad is the fact that our subconscious is really logged with an awful lot of programming that's come from other lives. And we've got deep, deep issues that we haven't recognized. And when I got reading Dwal Cool for the first time, I laughed my head off because he talks about how every one of us is projecting all of the time. And I laughed and laughed because so often you hear people saying, you know, I think she's projecting on me. I think I'm projecting on her. And it's true all the time. And the thing is, those projections come from a very complex number of sources. Really complicated when you think about it. They could be from your soul's journey. They could be from the collective all around us and from our brains, our minds, taking on thoughts and feelings that just flit through and then we project them back out. So it's really an old English expression. It's like a dog's breakfast trying to figure out what thing is running your life and actually helping or decreasing your projections. So, for example, if you've got money problems, and who does? I mean, most of us don't, right? Ha ha. On the planet at this time, we could be able to create it and manifest at a much stronger, higher level by getting hold of the projections we're putting out. And the projections like somewhere deep down you feel that you're saying, gee, I can never have that kind of money, or I don't know, really simple things like, oh, it just doesn't come to me. Oh, I'm just not lucky. Or I come from a family of whatever. And we don't realize how many of those things are running through us at all times. So what I want to talk about tonight is how to discover what kind of projections you're putting into the world. How can you discover them? How can you, according to Dwal Cool anyway, and my own guides have their own version of this, that when you discover what you're projecting and what you're radiating and you sit with it, you can get hold of the thought field, the energy that goes with that, and create intentionally the kinds of projections you'd like to put out there. And compassion is apparently one of the highest goals and intentions. Win-win, understanding, being in truth to yourself, being very authentic, sending love out into the world. All of those things are easily spoken about, but they aren't necessarily easy to accomplish. And it's easy to speak about how we do our affirmations and do our visualizations, and then we create a huge financial abundance. That's easier spoken than actually accomplished for some, because some people who have had many a lifetime of working on that issue will be doing it lickety-split and hot diggity. It'll be really a piece of cake for them, and other ones will be slogging through like it's mud, trying to change the energy fields that come out in front of them that respond to their projections in the world. And remember, our projections stick out like my magnetic little forces that connect to other people who have matching ones. So we can feel like a fish in water and not knowing how to describe water, in the sense that if our projections all around us are kind of like a forest of connections to similar energies, there we are, blindsided by a repeated flow of energy projections. And it's very, very interesting when you look at it like that, but it might be a little bit harrowing when we think, well, then, holy mackerel, how do I clear them? So stick with me. We're going to talk about it tonight. But the first thing I like to do, first of all, I like you to call in tonight. I want tons of callers, okay? And I want to hear about your life, what's going on in your life, how you're making changes, what it is you want to be doing, you know, just what's up in your world and what are you projecting and how are you changing it and other things. But first we're going to do our meditation. And the meditation will be the structures, I believe, tonight. One of the reasons I often do sounding or structures at the beginning is because if you think about all the thoughts and feelings in the collective that you're running through your head and your heart, the thoughts and feelings that are not your own, you're just sucking them in and taking them on, it's really important for us in a collective level to connect with one another and consciously shift the fields and frequencies, and then what we're projecting out there will be slightly different, hopefully more potently win-win, and not just that kind of if I have, you don't, and if you have, I don't, that kind of sluggish energy field that has been connecting a lot of us for maybe many, many a lifetime. So I like to do a meditation so that we're all in the energy community together. And the goal is not to be perfect, but the goal is to send out messages of I'm growing and changing, I'm growing and changing, I'm expanding, I'm learning about love. I can hardly wait till we really accomplish it and we go through the shift, which I hear is a choice. The shift is going to be a collective choice. So let's connect so we can collect our wits together and shift reality. You ready? Close your eyes, unless you're driving. And let's call in a golden ball above your head about 2 miles and below your spine about 40 feet. And drop a filament of gold light from the upper ball through the spine into the lower golden ball. And now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, and you can send it out about 20 feet away from your body. A pyramid, a four-sided pyramid, and it's also gold. And then upside down, its point reaching the lower golden ball, another four-sided pyramid, so the pyramids meet base to base. And now inside of that, a crystal ball that you create. It's a beautiful, beautiful series of very kind of opaque colors, beautiful, radiant, but opaque. And it's a crystal ball that touches the inside edges of your structure, or of your structure. And inside of that, you're in a star tetrahedron, or a three-dimensional Star of David. Good. And now in that, you can feel yourself as you spin and spin and spin, spin and spin and spin. And then as you're doing that, look in front of you at a magical, magical screen. And on that magical screen, we're going to place movies that we want to create. Now, this is going to help with your awareness of your own projections. Because as we set up the pictures that we want to create, the movies that we want to create, ask your higher self, ask your guides and angels to reveal to you what projections you're using to prevent that from happening right now. You may not get an answer tonight, but I promise you at some point over the next day or two, you will. So my first picture, the first thing I want to project onto my magical screen is myself being consciously multidimensional, coming from the heart all the time, not from defense and fear, but being consciously multidimensional. Whatever it is you want to be, let's feel ourselves being it, enjoying it. And now wrap that in light so it can continue. And we move to our next screen. And what is it you would like to create? What project would you like to create? Would you like to create home and family partnership, a business, a book, a movie, a tape? Sounds like an old game we used to play. And what is it you want to create? I see myself doing a television series. And let's call in all of the resources. See the resources coming in to help further your project. See the resources coming in, the people, the finances. That's it. And have them all come in and see your project coming to fruition. And see how well it's working. Maybe it's a book you've written or a CD you're creating or some wonderful speakers. Good. See it all come into fruition and see them working. See the market developing itself and showing up. And the people that help keep the resources flowing. Well, actually, the people are resources, aren't they? Now ask yourself in the middle of this, what am I projecting that might stop me from receiving that? Mm-hmm. That's interesting because maybe your body will talk to you. Mine sure did. Just allow yourself to experience those projections, those thought fields. Good. And as you feel them, see them melting, and create an enthusiastic and loving projection. Project your love and your enthusiasm is a better way to say it, isn't it? Now wrap that in light, and let's move into the Galactic Healing Center. And in that center, all kinds of magic can go on. See your healing team standing round a healing table. And on the table, you're the first person to plop down, lie down on the table, and ask that team what it is you need to be healed. And sometimes when we do that, nothing happens. Sometimes what happens is you feel a resistance to the fact that you don't know what it is that you need to have happen. So ask yourself what you're projecting, and then ask your team what it is you need to heal yourself. And see what they do. Oh, how interesting. What is it they do to you, for you? And I'm asking again, what else do I need? Because they work in a way where I least expected it. Yeah. Thank you very much. Give them much gratitude. And then wrap yourself in light, wrap that scenario in light so it can continue as you have a fresh healing room table and the team replicates itself. And then bring in someone that you want to help tonight. Okay. Now I have a whole little family here in distress. So we have them all lying on healing tables, and the light's very bright in there. Lots of pink for harmony as well. And they're working with them. That's it. And they're working with the strings between. It's interesting because this is a family that's going through a struggle. And they're working on the energy of each person and the strings that hold them. Talk about projections. These are very karmic projections, at least with two of them. And they're moving the little strings aside and see each person being wrapped in light and healed from the kinds of connections that they have that are somehow hurting them. And when you feel that the being you brought in has had enough healing, and ask your angels and guides when that is good. and wrap that in light, and then have a third table and the third replicated team. Okay. I have a woman here who's older, and she's in deep grief, and she has a very, very painful arm and shoulder. Mm-hmm. Who do you have in your healing room? Excellent. And ask the team to be working and tell you, if it's relevant, what you should know to help this person, or maybe they'll just tell for themselves. Good work. When she looks like she's softening and feeling more at home with herself and more eased, you can wrap that one in light as well. And the healing will continue. And now let's do the fourth thing, which is a political thing. What is it you would like to do politically? How would you like to support the political reality on this planet, either in this country, in your town or city? Something that has to do with people government. I'm going to wrap Obama in pink light and ask a healing team to move around him and to awaken his wit and his wisdom and his rejuvenation processes. Mm-hmm. So that he sees who's holding him down. And then we're going to call in a bright pink, radiant light into the top of our heads and bring it out through the chest. And we're going to send it to Mr. Obama and wrap him in light. Connect with our team who will help enhance that power of our light. And then send that light, that pink light, to all the hot spots that you're aware of on the planet. Whether it's the melting icebergs, whether it's the Gulf oil, spill, whether it's Nigeria, I was hearing today how Nigeria's had terrible oil spills for quite a while, or whether it's what's going on in Korea and Iran and Iraq, Afghanistan, America, anywhere where people are suffering through inequity, through greed, through the battle of human nature. And we just cover all of those places with an amazing, this is a kind of a projection, isn't it? We're sending this amazing harmony, light of harmony to each of these places. And watching it penetrate and permeate and go right around the whole globe and radiate off our globe so that those beings who want to join us from different galactic centers can see that we are coming to a place of harmony. We're choosing the shift, right? And bring that pink light back in all the way around the world and back into your chest. Fill your body quickly and move back up through your head and send it out to the great central sun. Now take a minute to close off your galactic healing center. Jump into yours. Spinning star tetrahedron, and come on in and talk to me about what you're projecting, what kind of projections are going on in your world. I don't know how many of you are listening that expected this to be a call-in show tonight. This usually isn't, so please feel free to call in about anything and about projections. The call-in number is 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. And I'll give you the other numbers because we can actually have four lines on if we want. 530-327-7602. 530-327-7602. 530-776-5185. 530-776-5185. And 530-413-4522. 530-413-4522. Wow, that's a lot of numbers. So I'm hoping that you will call in. I'm projecting out there consciously, I want to project love. What is it you want to project? I consciously would like to project compassion. And actually, when I say that, I go, you know, I think I'd really like to get to the point of evolution where I'm projecting love and compassion all the time anyway. And everything I learned lately says that that's a practice. In the meantime, the practice is actually knowing and understanding knowing and understanding what it is we're projecting. Oh, goody, you're on the air, and then I'll talk about my thought in a short while. Welcome.
Hi, Veronica. This is Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia. Did you know I was going to be on doing a call-in tonight?
Well, I just was closing out my email before I went to bed, and I saw the different formats, so I turned it on like just a few minutes into the hour, so I'm grateful that I noticed that.
Well, welcome, welcome. I decided to make a change and see who's awake.
Well, I'm awake.
How are you, darling?
Well, I'm getting better. I did finally get a job. I started yesterday.
Woohoo!
It's so interesting, though. It's a job as a server/waitress, mm-hmm. which I haven't done in forever. It's okay. I'm grateful for having a job. Ironically enough, it's an Asian fusion restaurant, the only one in Milwaukee.
Oh my gosh. And that's where you were some years ago in Monterey.
Yes. That's the one I opened myself and did on my own one I ever did on my own with anybody else. But there's something that's not, I don't know what's missing for me. I don't know why I'm not feeling more gratitude. I'm not sure. I mean, I have, you know, Cassandra's distracting a little. She's back in Pennsylvania, and Colin's doing well, and my son Christopher's doing well, and I still worry about Cassandra, but I don't know what it is other than that, I mean, and I do feel like I'm, you know, getting, I feel progress, internal growth progress, and I want to celebrate that, and yet I still feel restricted or feeling like I don't know. I'm praying for gratitude. I'm happy to be, you know, making some kind of contribution to something.
This is a really good call, because really what happens is we pray for gratitude. Like I was saying, I want to pray for compassion, but actually what we're looking for is actually feeling that at a very deep level. And what you've got is a lot of first of all, you're exhausted. Second of all, there's a lot of really deep kind of fatigue in there, and sort of a little bit of a cynical, jaded feeling. Do you know that?
Yes, I understand.
Okay, so I'm just calling that an energy, and we want to move that, because when that's there, of course you're not going to automatically feel the gratitude. You got a little wall there, girl. And we know, many of us who've heard you talk on the air, or I already know this from other experiences, that you've been through a mammoth self-growth period. I mean, this has been a huge initiation time for, what, 5 years, 6 years?
It's been nine.
9 years! Holy moly!
Since Craig moved out and the divorce started and things started to crumble and, you know, and betrayal and all those ugly things. And it's been since 5 years, yes, since I had to close my restaurant. Yeah, so it's, you know, it's been...
But I want to say this, that in terms of reaction, you've got really an intense kind of fatigue and a sort of a wall there. Partly what I wanted to talk about tonight was how resistance will close down those deeper radiances, those ones we prefer. But your reaction to all of those experiences is tired. It's like kind of cool. And I can see not feeling any particular enthusiasm. It's not the job per se. It's just the whole transition and the time it's taken. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So what we're going to do is run some energy up through, I would say you're holding a lot of it, the lower part of your lungs and your chest area. Do you feel that, or is that,
yes,
and your legs? So what we're going to do is move some energy up through your body and pray that you can release some of this. Cynicism is really just a yeah, right kind of feeling, isn't it?
Yeah, I can say I did resist, you know, returning to the hospitality business because I was so tired, angry, cynical, or whatever you want to say. But it's the only job I've been able to get here, so I am a little bit, cynical about it. You know, what I'm feeling right now, it's really kind of, I've never felt so cynical, and I've never felt so, I don't really care. this is really rare for me to feel or allow myself to feel so much indifference. And I don't remember having, even through all the transitioning that I've been through and the life experience and the lessons and whatever, what have you, I don't recall feeling as so much disdain as I feel today, I guess.
Disdain, that's a pretty interesting word, isn't it?
Yeah.
So let's ask everybody at home what we're going to do. We're trying to move energy collectively because we want to have an impact on the collective, don't we?
Yes.
Right? And there's a lot of people who are feeling like, what the heck's the point these days? You know that?
Okay.
And there's a lot of people that are feeling pretty cynical about jobs, about economics, about politics, about what, name it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's ask people at home to join us, and we're going to wrap ourselves in light. I have to be careful about this so I don't end up feeling this way for the rest of the evening.
Okay.
Let's wrap ourselves in light, everyone, and we're going to send some violet fire up through all of our bodies to move that cynical feeling, which is just, to me, it looks like a funny-shaped blob of energy. It's kind of like a slab that's there. Yeah, and underneath that, it's really interesting. Underneath that, what you have, Cynthia, is a very perking and just kind of like a stewing kind of a light that's trying to come up. So I want to say to you, behind that feeling about your job, there's a birth going on. But it's behind it. It's like a slab that prevents you from feeling it. But there's a birth going on. So we're just going to see if we can get that slab of energy to move. Does that make sense, or is that too esoteric?
No, I understand. I definitely feel there's resistance. And if you name it what you will or visualize what it is, it's a resistance. And I do feel like I'm stuffing something or I'm preventing something from
Okay, so what? Just play with me here. What are you resisting?
Maybe I'm resisting the feeling that I'm feeling. I don't like feeling disdainful. I don't like being cynical. I don't like the anger. I'm not used to allowing myself to feel it. I'm feeling like I've gone through so much without allowing that to contaminate things. And I'm frustrated with myself that in this last corner that I need to turn, that I'm carrying a ball and chain, and I'm feeling like, gosh, I've broken through walls and climbed out of volcanoes and done all that. Why can't I just let this last thing, you know, get off me, you know, like a dog pulling at my pant leg or something?
And what's the answer to that?
Why can't I do that? I guess there's some kind of fear because I don't know if I let go of that, what's out there. It's like if I'm actually free of the dog pulling on my pant leg and that means I can turn the corner, I want to say yay, but I want to say uh-oh.
Very good. And, you know, you and I know that that's how we feel as humans, but that isn't necessarily realistic because ultimately when you turn the corner, you're going to start being very creative, right? When you get out of this feeling of being victimized by, for example, joblessness, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I said victimized, what happened to your chest? Something went funny there.
Well, I just, like, stopped breathing.
Yeah. You actually have to breathe to stay alive, Cynthia.
Okay,
good. So take a couple of deep breaths, but it's very interesting because you are turning the corner and it's going to be pretty nice for you out there. I don't mean it's going to be cushy and you're going to be rich, but you're going to start to unfold in new directions. And you're not as, you used to be a lot more kind of wound up or hyper. You're not any of those things now. It's going to be kind of a nice, much softer form of motion. And then other things are going to start to unravel for you. You're just going to use this job as a place saver and a, you know, a transition time. But it's going to be at least grounding for you.
Okay.
I think you're going to find out that you like where you are and the job is all right and you begin to meet different people and life begins to have a new flow. There you are, right there. That just shifted into a nicer place. Did you feel that?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. Yes, I do.
Okay. So I just want you to, when you hang up, I want you to sort of jot down feelings like cynicism and possibilities, like just jot down a little list of those. You won't have to do very much before it will just stay moving and moving. And I think you're
going
to find yourself humble and kind to yourself and quite happy in a little while. And you have some new friends coming up. Are you still doing Al-Anon?
Yes, I am. And I've made a couple friends, you know, via that circle. It's been actually one of the friends in Al-Anon was instrumental in getting me this job. She was very helpful, and I interviewed for this job several months ago, but they never hired me and never called me back, and I didn't understand at the time, but I just didn't worry about it, and then they called me back. So, what's that?
It's very hard to be enthusiastic naturally. You see what I mean? Like, you've been through so much, like being whack, 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 so to stay enthusiastic is pretty, we would call it naive in a way, wouldn't we?
Well, yeah, and what's hard for me is I want to, with all this stuff, life experience that I've had, it's not all been awful, but especially the past 8 or 9 or 10 years, I don't want to dampen that. I don't want to come out of it cynical. I don't want to have that experience, or those collective experiences, you know, contaminate what I used to be, but I'm not who I used to be. I really am not. And
yeah,
that makes me sad.
What we're saying is to call it up, feel it, recognize it. You don't have to stay pinned down by it. You just need to call it up and don't fight it, and don't dance with it, and don't make it your identity. Just take a look. Mm-hmm. Take a look at it. And I would always ask my higher self and my angels to take it and also run some violet fire up through the perineum is a really good way to do it. But it's so, like, here, the bottom line here for you as well as everybody else listening. Sounds like a cell phone. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Anyway, I think you're going to do really well. This is the beginning of a big change, and you're not going to be who you were. You're going to be a new level of your more authentic self. And that's something maybe not to be enthusiastic about, but certainly to take on as a creative urge, you know?
Okay. All right.
Get that projection up, look at it, and hand it over.
Okay. Thank you, Veronica.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay, sure. Okay.
So that was pretty hard because we had a little technical advance that wasn't working too well for us. So back to what was I going to talk about? I got myself all dithered there. Oh, yeah, the projections that we make literally do create our reality. So in her case, in wonderful Cynthia's case, she is moving into a time, I'll be talking to you in 1 minute, she's moving into a time of creating a whole new world. But so many times we get dulled or blocked by reactions that we're projecting out there, and that's what she was dealing with tonight. She's going to shift that. You watch. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Pani. It's Susie.
Hi, Susie. How are you?
Good. Are you surprised? I got on an earlier shift, so I just got home and was able to get hooked up tonight.
So glad to hear from you. Susie's a bus driver. She drives at very odd hours.
Yes.
So what are you projecting tonight, my friend?
Well, I'm trying to figure out my children.
you're the only one in the world.
I know. I'm very special. Well, I found out on accident that my grandchildren from Arizona were here in Washington, and I wasn't made aware of it, and I don't even know if they're still here, and I didn't get to see them.
Well, now, how did you find out, darling?
from my son. He said, oh, Jordan and Dalton were here for the whole day, and it was so much fun. And I said, what? I was devastated. I just, it broke my heart. My heart is broken.
Were they with their dad?
No, they came up and stayed with their nanny. I don't know how they got here. I don't know anything, and I'm just struggling so to deal with it.
Isn't that interesting what they would do? Because talking about projections, there's something being projected on you from your daughter. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
Do you understand what we're talking about with projections?
Uh-huh.
There's beliefs that we have that we radiate out, and it keeps increasing the feedback, meaning if I feel sorry for myself, people are going to pick on me, that kind of thing. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So as soon as
she
I
doesn't
look,
even know that I know.
Well, when I look at her, I see her as very a little hardened to you right now. Do you understand that?
Yeah. And I don't know why though.
She's very defensive about you. And I'm looking at her projections because that was the most vivid thing, is her projection on you. It's defensive,
uh-huh.
And what is your projection on her? Can you figure it out?
Well, I just always tell myself there's nothing that my children could ever do that would make me treat them the way my mother treated me. And so I just still have love for my kids.
But it's really interesting because the way you're expecting, no, it's not expecting, you're projecting some of your mother outward on them, you know, because, and I was going to talk about this before my first caller, is we have the archetype, the male and the female archetype, right? And the
uh-huh.
male archetype is often a lot of authority issues or even how we believe in God or project on God and the father and anything to do with authoritative male. Well, the mother has a similar role, obviously not God, but the goddess. And when I look at you, I see that somewhere deep down, there's that mother archetype that hasn't been very kind and that you're holding attention against. Do you understand what I mean? And that's coming through to a lot of the feminine connections you have. So it came out of you and into your daughter. It's a projection going on. And she's also sending it back. So we can say, oh, golly, I didn't abuse her like my mom did. But I'm saying to you that many of us are still holding that tension against the feminine, and it's being projected onto other feminine, especially women that we're trying to raise, right?
So what do I do about it?
Feel it, see it, know it. Let's just take a look at it, everyone. Any of you who's got a feminine archetype, which all of us do, let's call that up and feel it and see if we can release it, because I feel this, that your daughter, here's the thing that goes on with us. Your daughter is a really soft and loving person, but she's defended and is very afraid of the vulnerability around the feminine. And I want to say that that's a version of what you've got in you, you see? And I want to say I have a version of it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I know many other women who do. So that's the deep feeling, or Dwal Kool calls it thought field, that you've got in there, and she's radiating back. So instead of her being compassionate and loving and respectful to you, she's defended. And she's a little bit twisted, and not twisted, I don't mean that she's crazy. I mean she's got a twist on it compared to how you would do it. And she's kind of trying to keep you from being powerful in her world with her children. And I don't quite understand it logically, but I understand it energetically. And she probably doesn't know she's doing
sure.
it. Pardon me?
I don't know.
She doesn't
I
know
don't understand it.
She doesn't know she's doing it. Do you not
because,
understand? Go ahead.
No, because she can be so warm and loving, you know, and giving. And then all of a sudden this happened, and it was just like, I mean, I was just blindsided by it.
And has she been warm and loving and giving over the last month or two?
Well, I haven't had a whole bunch of connection with her. She usually texts me, and I text back. And
you're getting good at texting, are you?
Yeah, you know, that's, you got to stay up with these kids.
Well, the, okay, so what I'm saying is that there's, and I know this from a lot of us that had pretty difficult moms, that it's pretty difficult for us to clear out the deeper reactions we have to our mom. And we pass those on. It's almost like they take it on, they do take it on vibrationally from us, and then they feed it back to us. And that's just the way it goes. And I wish I had known this when I was quite young. And the thing is, for you to call it up, and for people at home, call up and feel that kind of distorted feminine archetype that came from having a mother who had a distorted feminine archetype, right?
Uh-huh.
You see what I mean? Archetype is the pattern on what a woman is like. You
so should I go into my higher self and do this?
Yeah, just go into your gut right now. See how your stomach and your belly and your chest are all tense?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would just, let's go into that part and let's call that up and let's exaggerate that and feel what it's like and exaggerate it and exaggerate it, and let's ask for help from our guides and angels and our higher selves, and let's command total release of that now. So when you're thinking of the kids coming up and you're thinking of your daughter, because I think it's more about her than her husband, then just keep calling it up in yourself, calling it up in yourself, and then command total release of that energy now. Flush yourself with light, and then send some love, do a conscious projection. And then it comes up again, do it again. And do it for a while and see if she doesn't change with you.
So am I sending the light to her or to myself now?
To yourself. Fill yourself with light and then be projecting from yourself, be sending light out consciously. But I'm telling you, the big thing here is you don't want to be just sending light without shifting what's going on in you. Or guess what? It doesn't come from such a deep place, and it doesn't resonate with all of your life. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It just comes up sporadically, and what you want to do is break that cycle with that young lady who does love you ultimately. She's just very defensive about her role as a woman for some reason, and I think we know what the reason is. So the kids have come to see the other grandparents?
Mm-hmm. And my son and his family.
Well, honey, I'm really sad about that for you, but I am saying it's directly from a vibrational projection that you're sharing with your daughter. It's been something that you've had your whole life, and she's a very strong spirit. So she's taken it on and feeding it back to you. I think you might want to text her.
Tell her what?
First, I would clear the energy over and over. I would clear the feminine archetype, or just your mother, if that's easier for you to stay with in your body. Keep clearing it and clearing it, and then text and go, you know, what's up? Are my grandkids here? Something like that. She'll know. But I would want that energy, the energy of love, to go with that text rather than an energy of defensiveness or anger or heartbreak or whatever. Does that make sense? Do you understand that?
Does she care that she's broken my heart?
I think she, when she decides to be that way, she just hardens off like most of us do, and you just do what you want to do. You don't think of the other person. You don't feel about the other person. She looks like she's having a hard time right now in other ways as well.
Well, they're both looking for jobs, and
well, there's
how they're getting by.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there that's tightening up her reaction, and you're a little bit vulnerable in her world, and it's not logical. Susie, it's not logical. It's a pain that comes through the feminine in your lineage. Even your sister has it.
Oh, dear.
And but you don't want your granddaughter to have it. So you can actually shift the way you're projecting that feminine distortion. You can take charge of it and start shifting it. You can grieve and cry and be heartbroken, but it would be much more effective for you to clear this feeling, even if you're grieving and crying. Clear it and clear it and clear it, and then fill yourself with love and then be in touch with her. Because you can actually, we know this from a lot of work, that as we change those deep underpinning patterns, we change the whole lineage, your grandkids, everybody gets released. So you see, it's a pattern you took on and passed to your daughter unwittingly, and I did the same thing. But we can clear that and clear the entire grandchildren and all of that, if that makes sense.
But did I pass this to my son also then?
They don't pick up our feminine archetype so much. But his wife has definitely got her version of it.
From her mother then?
And partly she's got a resonance that he would choose because of yours.
Oh.
You see, it's all just energy, and it's like being, I said this a little earlier, it's like being fish in the water. The fish can't describe the water, right? Because it's all they know,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And that's kind of true for us. That's why we keep working on projections over and over, because they're so hard to grasp in a way. But once we do, we have a lot of material to deal with this dissension stuff that comes up. Your daughter is a very finely tuned and can be a very highly vibrational soul. She just needs to clear some of the ego, reactive stuff that, like the rest of us, she got. Probably got it in the womb, probably got it in her cells, maybe got it in her soul. It doesn't matter. We just start clearing like mad. And I recommend that you do clearing, fill yourself with light, and then text her when you're feeling filled with light, because you may not be able to hold it for hours on end.
Mm-hmm.
Just text a simple question. She'll know what it's about. She'll also feel your love. I know. I have to go because I'm on live radio, but I send you much love and a big hug. And there's a lot of us out there that know how much we love our children and how perplexing it is when there are these strange miscommunications that feel so alienating. And I sure understand that. You have a lot of guidance around you, Susie, so call it in. Say, I need to feel you. I need you now. Front and center, please. All right?
Okay.
Thanks
right.
for calling.
Thanks. Love to you guys.
And you. That was a very good call, because so many people that I talk to in my practice, in my healing practice, have to do with the kind of lineage that they've got, their children, what their children have taken on. And how do we, again, we say if we're in this unconscious or subconscious process of passing on deep pain or deep reactions or soul reactions and so on, how do we wake up and become conscious of what we're doing so that we can actually link up with our children in a win-win way instead of a resistant, defensive, passing on the karmic way? That's a big job. Once again, I recommend Matter of Mind, A Guide to the Labyrinth of Your Mind by Dwell Cool, and many other books. And also My Guides and Angels always talk about calling up the feeling of being absolutely betrayed by the children, of loving them so much and having them react in such a, we'd say a reactive fashion to us, interpreting things from some level that we haven't got our minds on. We're saying, let's get our minds on that level. Are we sending our children messages of, like in Susie's case, the feminine isn't warm and kind, the feminine is cold and mean and judgmental or something, which is what Susie experienced as a child. Your own child picks that up even though she didn't have it. Either that or she chose you as a mother because you had that experience in you and she was trying to work her way out of it in this lifetime. We don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg. It certainly came through the egg, didn't it? So learning what you're projecting and how you can find that out is very often in the reflections in the people around you. Very often in the people around you and the experiences that keep repeating themselves. It's really tricky, isn't it? Now, this is Veronica Entwistle talking to you. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. I love to talk to you on a call-in show, and thank you for your calls tonight. And now my normal call-in show is on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock, but this week you're going to be hearing from Dwal Kool coming through Kathleen Kingdon. Dwal Kool is an amazing Tibetan master, and I adore interviewing them because I learn a lot from him, and I really love the teachings. He used to come through Alice Bailey, which a lot of you know is a great spiritual channel at the end of the 18th century, or, 1800s. And so he's going to be on at 7 o'clock on Thursday night. The other thing they're doing is they're doing a workshop next weekend over in Colorado, the weekend of the 14th and 15th of August. But on the 15th, and I urge you to check their website. I'm going to put it on my website as well, to look up www.earthhealingday.com. What we keep talking about is how the collective affects our thoughts and feelings, and we actually breathe in old thoughts and feelings that are in it. But paradigm shifting is all about the shifting the collective consciously and so on. So Earth Healing Day is something they've set up. They've got a wonderful website about it, and you can go in and be a partner to it. And they've set it up so that between noon and 1 on the 15th of August, they're asking people all around our planet to spend an hour on some kind of meditative activity to send light all around the world to places on the planet that need healing, or just generally the light of healing for the entire planet. Because it will be, and you and I know this, it'll be like sending a huge wave of light round the whole world and also impacting the collective. You and I could actually be raising the fields of the collective. But the more we do it together, the faster it is to make a big difference. It's critical mass, eh? What is critical mass? Somebody standing around and criticizing you? Probably not. It's a number that it takes to really propel a change. And my question is, how much, let me see, when we propel that change because we've reached a certain number of the population, like 1%, how long does that last? My understanding is we have to keep reaching critical mass over and over. So like ocean waves, it keeps going round and really makes a huge difference. And then our thoughts and feelings will, of course, be of a higher nature. I like to think about the shift, and I asked Dwal Kool about the shift. What does he think about it? And other beings I've asked. And basically the answer is consistent all around. The shift, which is supposed to be an amazing shift in consciousness for our entire species, is up to us. You and I have to choose consciously to rise into the kind of being that's capable of projecting love, compassion, wisdom, and all of that. We want to prefer to hold that, and it means it's got to be done in a kind of a community way and a very big collective choice. Can we do it? I believe we can, and I believe that my guides and angels also have taught me that the consciousness is vibrationally alive enough to be able to hold that kind of a shift. I'm very excited about it. But we got to do it, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to know that we have some power in this whole world, don't we? So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, oh, next Thursday at 8 o'clock, Jackie Salviti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness, I'll be joining Jackie and her team, and we'll be talking about, they've been talking about living consciously resonant, which is similar to what I'm talking about, but not quite the same, and not quite the same words anyway. So we'd love you to tune in at 7 o'clock for Dwal Kool and Kathleen Kingdon talking about, they're talking about recession-proofing your mind, meaning using your mind over in these crazy times of the recession, what it takes to combat such collective as a massive recession and Earth Healing Day. So if you have any comments about this, or love to give me any feedback, Veronica at veronicaantwistle.com. Love to hear from you. Many blessings, everyone, and thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design and being a part of a wonderful collective of high frequency and choosing high frequency, choosing our own shift energy. Much love. Good night.